All right, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. All right, read that together. 1, 2, 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Amen. You know, I've been speaking lately about the army of God, and we talked about how God is breathing life into dry bones in these last days, and He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and He's raising up a vast army that will stand and that will go out and really expand the kingdom of God. And I talked about how we need to understand that we have a commander of this army, that we don't go out like independent militia, but we all answer to one commander in chief. And He is the commander of the Lord's army who appeared before Joshua when he was on the road to Jericho. And that commander is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about last week the spirit of the army. And we looked at Psalm 27 regarding the spirit of the army. Tonight we're going to talk about equipping the army. Equipping the army. Now, an army needs weapons, amen? For an army to be an army, we need weapons. I ain't never seen an army go out to battle with just spoons and forks. Right? We need weapons. Now, an army not only needs weapons, but an army needs to know how to use those weapons. Amen? I mean, I can hand you a bunch of weapons here tonight. But if you don't know how to use them weapons, they're not going to be very useful. I could tell you, I could describe all the weapons. I could tell you, I talk to you about all these kinds of guns and semi-automatic machine guns and all this stuff. And I could describe it all I want and give it to you. But if you don't know how to use that, you're not going to be a very effective army. You're not going to be able to defeat many foes. So tonight we're going to talk about equipping the army of God. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war according to the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. So in this passage, it's telling us that there are weapons that we, as a people of God, as the army of God, must fight with. We have weapons available to us. And Paul here, he describes these weapons. Look at verse 4. Okay. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. What's they talking about? He's talking about them weapons. All right, man, turn to your neighbor, tell him, you need to learn about these weapons. Whatever these weapons are, Paul is declaring, they got divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, how many of you guys would be comfortable if somebody gave you a remote control, and on that remote control had a little latch, safety latch? You open up the safety latch and there's a button. And if you press that button, an atomic bomb will be sent to any city that you don't like, or to any city in the world. What if you had that kind of remote control at your hands? Would you feel comfortable with that? Okay. You wouldn't feel too comfortable, huh? Because why? Why would you not feel comfortable with that? Because that weapon has great power to demolish a whole lot of things at once. There's a lot of power there. Well, the Word of God is telling us, we're not even talking about the atom bomb. We're talking about weapons that have such divine power they destroy strongholds. Now, if somebody gave you a remote control that will control the atom bomb, you could press it all you want. You will not destroy a single stronghold in the world. An atom bomb with all of its power cannot destroy strongholds. But the weapons that God provides and gives us availability to have that kind of divine power. So the question tonight is, what are these weapons? What are they? What do they look like? How do we use them? All right. So I'm going to try to unpack some passages to try to bring that forth. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 for me. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 14 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Let's read the word of God together once again. All right, chapter 6. 1, 2, 3. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Stop. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the people of God are targets for the enemy. Let me say that again. The enemy targets God's people. If you look in the book of Revelation, Satan is seen as a dragon, and he's one angry dragon, and he is making war on God's people. Okay? Satan is not interested in making war against all the rest of the world. He's making war against God's people, and he's doing everything he can to destroy God's people. You see, for Satan, he knows he's not playing for keeps. Okay? He knows he's already going to lose. He's a defeated foe. But I'm telling you, that does not deter him from fighting any less. He is fighting with all the more fierceness because he's got nothing to lose. You know, sometimes when you have an enemy on your hands who has nothing to lose, that's more scarier than an enemy that might think he might win. But when he got nothing to lose, he's going to do everything in the book to win. Not to win. Everything in the book to try to destroy you. You saw Mike Tyson? Hallelujah. A few years ago, Mike Tyson got in. He was fighting Evander Holyfield. And Mike Tyson trying to make a comeback. Came out of jail, trying to make a comeback. And Evander Holyfield was messing him up. And Mike Tyson was... he's got the stronger punch, but he wasn't landing them, or he would land them, but Evander Holyfield was just a big old, big dude. And he wasn't going down. And Tyson started to realize he had a cut on his eye, started to realize, I'm going to lose this fight. So what did he do? He took a big old bite out of Evander Holyfield's ear. Okay. Now, the first bite, alright, he took a big chunk out of Evander Holyfield's ear. The bizarre thing is the referee saw it, and the referee's like, what should I do? And talks to the commissioner. The commissioner's like, oh man, just let him fight. And so the ref's like, okay, just let him fight. And they just keep fighting. And Evander Holyfield's like, no, I don't care, man. I'm going to knock him out. I don't care. And they're like, you should stop the fight. Your ear's bleeding. I'm going to knock him out. And goes out. What did Tyson do again? He bit the other ear. Okay, Tyson was the man that had nothing to lose at that point. You see, he wasn't fighting to win. He was fighting to destroy Evander Holyfield. Whatever he can to just try to destroy him. Okay? And that's a picture of what Satan is doing to God's people. Why does he put God's people under bondage? even in their youth, why does he put such young people under bondage? People that he knows is destined for a mighty call in their lives. Why does he do that? He's just trying to destroy them. He doesn't care about winning. He just cares about destroying, stealing, killing. If he can get an early death for God's people, he'll try to do it. We have a vicious enemy, and he's merciless. That's why we need to pay attention to this passage. Because we have such a vicious enemy, we need to learn how to put on the armor of God. Okay, let's look at this passage again. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, that's one. The breastplate of righteousness, that's two. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, that's three. Take up the shield of faith that stops all the fiery darts of the enemy, that's four. Take the helmet of salvation, that's five. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Six pieces of armor represented in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. Now, my recommendation for you is to memorize every piece of armor. Okay. You know why? Because this armor is invisible. If you don't memorize it, you're not going to put it on. Because it's not like a visible armor that you can wake up to every day and actually put on. You know, every day you wake up, you can look at your clothes, but you cannot look at the armor of God. It's an invisible armor, yet you got to put it on if you want to be protected. The devil and his minions, they have weapons, brothers and sisters. The devil has weapons, okay? And some of these weapons I'll list to you. He uses lies. He uses threats, curses, disease, financial calamity, idolatry, one of his biggest weapons. If he can get you to fall in the sin of idolatry, he's put your life on the course of destruction. Sorcery, witchcraft, material or sexual temptations. These are all weapons that the enemy utilizes to destroy God's people. And do you know how you can arm yourself from these weapons? Is to put on the armor of God. You see, Satan uses lies. Well, you got to put on the helmet of salvation. You know, so many people live a defeated life because they struggle with salvation. Am I saved or am I not? Am I a Christian? I'm living like a hypocrite. I must not be a Christian. And they just live like that their whole lives, and it's a defeated life. But the Word of God says, put on the helmet of salvation. Make your calling and election sure. Put on the helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet is like a key piece of armor. Why? When you look at a motorcyclist, what is the only piece of gear that they put on always? A helmet. Except the pedal ajushis. They're crazy. They don't wear nothing. They wear a helmet. Why? Because if you got into a huge accident, you flew off that motorcycle, if you have a helmet on, you'll probably survive. But if you get in the smallest of little accidents, but you don't have a helmet on, guess what? You dead. You ain't riding that bike again. Okay? It's the same way. If you don't got your helmet of salvation on, right, the littlest attack of the enemy will just wipe you out. But if you got the helmet of salvation always on, no matter how big of an attack the enemy brings, you're going to be able to stand. Hallelujah. Amen? That's a big piece of armor. Hallelujah. And that protects your thoughts, thought life as well, from fear, from threats. You know? Hallelujah. Another piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteousness. Hallelujah. And that means just righteousness. That's an all-encompassing word. Hallelujah. It's not just holiness. It's not just purity. It's integrity. It's character. It's righteousness. Reflecting God's just glorious character, righteousness. You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because we know why? The breastplate, it protects your heart. Amen? The Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. But the devil, you know what he does? He gets at our hearts. Hey, you're not happy with what you got there with those materials. You'll be happier when you get all the stuff that's in the magazines, all the stuff that's on sale, all these video games. You're going to be happier when you have this person in your life. Okay? And Satan causes you to be discontent, to covet. That's sins of the heart. That's why it's so important to put on a breastplate of righteousness. Make sure you cover up your chest area, your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Righteousness. I'm going to get off that. Let's go to the next one. The belt of truth, or the old words, belt buckle of truth. All right, belt, buckle, belt, whatever. All right, it's a belt. It's something around your waist. All right, if you don't got a belt on, guess what? I mean, unless you got a big old belly, all right, your pants are going to fall down. Hallelujah. I don't know how that, I don't really know what a spiritual truth to equate that with. But truth, you got to have truth. You got to have truth around your waist. You know, some people have lies around their waist, and that's what keeps their pants up. You know, but we, as a people of God, live with integrity. That comes when it comes to like money, stewardship, tithing. We gotta be honest. Taxes, we gotta have truth. The words we speak, truth. Right? The way we deal with our family, truth. Honesty, truth. When you have truth, hallelujah, you don't gotta worry about the devil exposing you. No shame, hallelujah. Right? And the enemy has ways to use shame to attack God's people. But when you got that belt buckle of truth, he can't really get at you like that. You know, there's some people that always struggle with shame, and there's other people that never struggle with shame. Why? Because some people got that belt buckle of truth on. The devil's just like, man, I can't really get through to him like that. I'm going to have to use some other method. Another piece of armor is the feet fitted with the gospel of peace. This means you're just ready at all times. You're walking on the peace of God, but you're also ready to share that gospel in which you are saved and which you walk on. The gospel of peace. Ready, fitted with the gospel of peace. That means you're ready to go and make disciples. If God says go, you're ready to go. You've got your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Okay, I think this is one thing. If you are always ready to share the gospel and you're always walking on the peace of God, that's like armor. Devil's not going to be able to get through with certain attacks. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. The shield of faith that stops all the fiery darts of the enemy. This is one of my favorite pieces of armor. And I use it all the time. Frankly, I use it all the time. I use it all the time. Shield of faith that stops all. So, you know, discouragement is like fiery darts. Wait, flaming arrows here, right? The NIV. Yeah, flaming arrows. Fiery darts, flaming arrows. All right, whatever. The devil's going to throw them. You know why? Because when he throws something, it's not just an arrow like, psh, ah, and take it out, right? That's no problem. But when the devil throws stuff, he throws it with fire on it. So it's like, ah, ah, oh, shh, and it's like burning. So once you get stabbed, you keep burning, and it makes the wound worse. So discouragement, you'll throw. Criticism, ba-bam. Slander. Pierce. And he's firing the stuff. And especially in, people get hit with like just doubt. And this could be not just doubting the existence of God. We're talking like doubting yourself. Doubting your ability to carry something out. When God has called you over and over. God's called you like 10 times and affirmed it through signs and wonders and confirmations. And you, when you get out there, all of a sudden, fiery dart psh, of doubt. And it's just, man, I can't do this. Why did God even ask me to do this? Why am I up here? And it just get pierced with it. And in those moments, brothers and sisters, you got to put up the shield of faith. Because the shield of faith stops all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's such a crucial piece of armor. You know, and some people think, no, I gotta work it through in my mind, this doubt, I gotta work it through. No, no, no. You just put up your shield of faith and it's done with. That's how quick it works. Just put up the shield of faith, it's done. All right, you just don't revisit it. No need to revisit it. Hallelujah. The shield of faith. Hallelujah. So, you know, this past week, Brother Marcus, he got hit with just an illness all of a sudden. Just got ill, really ill on Tuesday. He didn't even go to work. And he thought he had appendicitis. He went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, you might have appendicitis. And I had appendicitis, so I know how bad it is. So I was like, brother, if you got appendicitis, you better be on the lookout. That thing will kill you if you don't detect it early. You know? But when Aaron and I prayed for him, we felt like, right away, I just praying for him. You know, sometimes, you know, you just gotta go with the first hunch that God gives you. Cause that's the Spirit moving. Spirit moves through you so quick. He'll just give you like a prophetic insight into who you're praying for. It'll come with the quickness. And you don't wanna be like, oh no, that's just my mind playing with me. Alright, so if you gotta learn to hear the voice of God and trust the voice of God. And if you're wrong, then you're wrong. Just tell God, I was wrong, Lord. Next time, help me to hear you clearer. Alright, but we got a first hunch I got. Was this attack of the enemy. So right away I start praying, Lord, deliver him from this attack of the enemy. Lord, I pray right now that Marcus, the spirit man, may rise up and come against this thing. I pray that, Lord, no weapon formed against him shall prosper. I declare over him right now, this disease, this whatever illness that's attacking his body will no way. Because I felt like, I even felt fear. I felt like he was starting to get depressed and oppressed. And I just started fighting for him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the very next day, 10 times better. He felt 10 times better. Dramatically better. Hallelujah. And today he's telling us the only thing he's left is a cough. But we had like a 30-minute prayer time and I didn't hear him cough once. Hallelujah. So much for that cough. But that was an attack of the enemy. You know, physical attack. You know, every time we get a physical symptom, what's the first thing we say? Oh, I must be coming down with the flu. Oh, I'm getting sick. All right, and that is such a defeated thing to say for the people of God. All right, one little headache. Oh man, I'm gonna be sick in bed tomorrow. I might as well call in sick now. That is a defeated mentality, brothers and sisters. The moment you get a symptom on, you tell the devil, that ain't mine. I'm putting up the shield of faith right now. Hallelujah. The Lord is my healer. And I'm going to declare that until I am fully healthy. And you know what? Devil's going to be like, no, you're diseased. No, you're getting sick. You're getting sick. You're getting sick. No, I'm healthy. I'm healed. I got God's protection. No, you sick. You sick. You sick. I'm healed. I'm healed. You sick. You sick. Guess who's going to win if you keep on standing on your healing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, brothers and sisters, we got to put on the armor of God because we got to take God's provisions seriously. He provides it here in His Word. And Brother Michael, my old mentor, always taught me, you put it on. You memorize this passage and you put it on. And he sent me to Kazakhstan one summer and he was like, Butter, you're going into a tough place. This place has not been sown with the gospel before. You're going to come up with attacks of the enemy. You need to put on the armor of God every single day. I want you to put it on. You wake up and you put it on. Hallelujah. So while I was there, I put on the armor of God. I put on the armor of God. My teammates getting sick, I put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. And then I went and I even prayed for them to get better. And they got better. Hallelujah. You know, people getting discouraged left and right, I put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. And I must have not put on my armor like for the last 3 days. Because I told you the story already. A white witch in that town, she put a curse on me. All right. Put on the armor of God every day, please. Somehow she got that curse across. And that's why I had these terrible nightmares after that trip. But praise the Lord for the prophetic gift because Brother Michael prophesied it. And then he just set me free. Hallelujah. Because he got weapons too. To demolish some strongholds. that curse, whatever that curse was, it got broken in the instant. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, once you put on the armor of God, you can declare Isaiah 54:17 with confidence. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against God's people shall prosper. Look, they're going to come. I'm not going to lie to you. The enemy will make his weapons. He will send those weapons. He will attack you with those weapons. But look, guess what? They never need to prosper. They will never need to succeed. As long as you declare Isaiah 54:17 and you're taking God's provision of the armor of God seriously, you can boldly declare, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a powerful verse. That's a weapon right there. Isaiah 54:17. You got to get that in your spirit. That's a weapon right there. That's a weapon. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think of a natural weapon that's like that, that's equivalent to. Hallelujah. I'll tell you if it comes to me. Now, in this list of armor, I noticed I missed the last piece of armor, which is the only offensive piece of armor among these six. And that is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is often visualized as a sword. Hallelujah. And we need to recognize that this sword is not just for defense, but it's also for offense. Hallelujah. It's a mighty piece of armor. But you know what? Most people know how to hold a sword, but they don't know how to use a sword. I'll tell you right now, when I was taking karate back in 7th grade, all right, you work your way up to purple belt, and the teacher will teach you the sword kata. The kata is a form. You do like a form. Yeah! What up? Yeah! And you got to do it with like form. All my form is gone. But when you get to like purple belt, my sensei will allow you to use the sword. Man, that sword, he had like super sharp swords. And he wanted you to train with it just because he was just like crazy like that. It was like, you know, whatever. Hallelujah. Man, the first time I handled that sword, that thing was heavy. It wasn't even the heaviest sword. It was a heavy sword. I didn't know what I was doing. I was going to slice my leg off if I didn't be careful. Sensei like, Sugyung, come here. What are you doing? It's not how you handle the sword. You know how to hold the sword, but you don't know how to use the sword. Hello. He didn't talk like that. He's actually African American. I don't know why that. I have Mr. Miyagi coming out for a second. You know, that's the thing. A sword is a dangerous weapon. You know, and the people of God, there's a lot of people that know how to hold it. They mishandle the Word of God all the time. And they cut themselves up. They cut other people up. Hallelujah. We need to learn how to not just hold this sword and say, hey, devil, I got the sword of the Spirit. Get away from me. Get away. I got the sword of the Spirit. You hear me? Devil's like, you got the sword. All right. Right, you got the sword. Boom! Ah! Sword! Sword! Okay, that is not how you use a sword. If you want to get a clue of how you use the sword of the Spirit, you look at Matthew chapter 4, Jesus in the desert. Okay, Jesus was a 700th degree black belt in the sword. Hallelujah. Jesus is the sword. Hallelujah. He is the Word of God. Anyway, Jesus knew how to use a sword. The devil comes to him. Hallelujah. And you know what? Devil, when he senses God's call on your life and you're about to be released in a mighty anointing ministry, because that's what Jesus is just about to enter into, He just got anointed with the Holy Spirit. He's about to start his public ministry. You know what the devil does? He attacks you. He comes and tempts you. He tries to get you before your ministry begins. So brothers and sisters, any of you who feel like God's calling you to step out with the anointed, like an anointing ministry, all right, be on the lookout, because you will be attacked. You will be tempted. And here, the devil comes to him with three different temptations. First temptation, turn these stones to bread. Hallelujah. What was Jesus' response? No, devil, I will not listen to you. You're the devil. No, that wasn't his response. Man, devil, I can do whatever I want, man. Shut up. That wasn't his response either. Okay. His response was with the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Devil takes him, hallelujah, and says, bow down to me, and I'll give you everything. Why do you have to go to the cross? Don't go to the cross. Just here, I'll give it to you right now. All this, I got authority over. I'll give it to you right now. You just bow down to me. Once again, Jesus responded with the sword of the Spirit. Worship the Lord your God only. Last one. Satan's like, all right. You know how to use the sword? I know how to use the sword. I know how to use the word of God. The word of God says, Psalm 91, for he will command his angels concerning you so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Throw yourself down. Oh, Satan's smart, man. Satan knows the word of God. Satan knows the word of God better than y'all do. Jesus responded once again with the word of God. Hallelujah. What did he respond with? All right, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Hallelujah. Sword of Spirit. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to use a sword. So when learning to use a sword is not just saying, devil, I got the sword in my hand. Get away from me. Get away from me. It's, you got to quote the word of God. And cha-ching! Fling! I am ninja! Get away, Satan! Fear, fear. You're scared. You're very scared. I'm surrounding every corner of this room. You are surrounded by my nasty presence. Oh, no, I'm scared. Oh, no. Wait, hold on. I bring this joint out. 2 Timothy 1:7. Cha-ching! God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. Ugh! The devil's like, oh, snap. Didn't expect that. I'm going to come back next week. You got to learn how to use this sword. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? We use it for the defense as a piece of armor. But eventually, we need to grow up and learn how to use it as equipment, as an offensive weapon. Not only does God want you to protect yourself with the sword of the Spirit, but he wants you to go out and set other captives free with the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The armor of God. This passage here. Huge chunk for equipping the army. We got to be an army that has the armor of God on. Amen? Look at verse 18. It says, pray in the Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. I missed a word. It says, and pray in the Spirit. Which means Paul's trying to connect what he just talked about with this verse. Just talked about the armor. Talked about the sword. Now he's like, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Hallelujah. Now, some people think praying in the Spirit means praying in tongue. Other people believe praying in the Spirit means just praying in a way where you're led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm more and more convinced that praying in the Spirit is just praying with your spirit, by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. In the prayer language that God's blessed you with. I just believe praying in the Spirit just means praying in tongue. You know why? Because I've seen mighty men that are anointed by God, and that's the way they interpret it. And then I've seen people that study books and they're cramped up in their offices and they say, no, it's not that. And then I look and I say, all right, well, you know, I respect that you're looking at all your books, but these are the people that are out on the field. And I think they know spiritual truths maybe a little bit deeper because they're out there fighting. I'm going to just go with that interpretation. All right. So, yeah, I mean, like Benny Hinn, if you ever see him at a miracle crusade, right? And if people in the audience just, they're not filled with the Spirit, they're not very many people filled with the Spirit in the audience, he'll say, pray in the Spirit, people. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, people. And people are like, what does that mean? I'm a, Lord, bless this place. Lord, bless this place. But people, pray in the Spirit. And he gets more angry because people aren't praying in the Spirit. Because for him, praying in the Spirit is praying with your prayer language. And there is something that happens, whether you like to interpret it like that or not. There's something that happens when you pray in the Spirit. Spiritual realm gets opened up. Anointing gets stirred up. The devil gets... he gets uneasy. Because faith is being released. You're not moving in the realm of the natural anymore. You're moving in the realm of faith. Hallelujah. It's not just Benny Hinn. It's just a whole bunch of people in the charismatic movement. That's the way they interpret it. Anyway, I'm going to say that's what it is. Pray in the Spirit. We got to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is another crucial piece of equipment for the people, army of God, is prayer. You know what? Look at Revelations 8, verses 3 to 5. Look at Revelations 8. Get a picture of what prayer does. You know, sometimes we are in a tight spot and then we pray for somebody that's getting attacked or needs help. We pray for them and we say amen. And then we go, oh, I guess there's just that felt like nothing happened. And then you go home and then you get all kinds of doubts. Nothing's happening in that person. Okay. Now, we need a vision of what really happens to our prayers. Okay. Because it's not just going to thin air. Look at Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 to 5 with me. Verse 3. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the, once again, the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Woo-hoo! When God's people pray, the earth gets shaken up. Amen? See, we think prayers is going to thin air, but we have to remember, by faith, if we have the faith that they're going to heaven, they're going to get all the way to heaven. And these prayers, God's waiting for these prayers to fill up. Because there's different purposes, have different size bowls, I think. And once it gets filled up, he says, angel, over here. Get that censer. Hurl this thing down on earth. Hallelujah. Revival there. Boom! Breaks out. It didn't break out overnight, brothers and sisters. Years of prayer filled up that bowl. Revival in your life. Oh, yeah, Pastor Christian preached a great sermon and I came to the Lord. As much as I want to take the credit, it's not me. It's your mama. Your mama filled up all them bowls with prayer. And God was like, man, I'm tired of listening to Peter's mama. Hey, angel, over here. Let's get this thing down. Poured it out. Boom. Oh, I love you, Lord. Now, people, that's how some people experience God. Especially late conversions. You know, the older you get, the harder you get. That's why people have more dramatic conversions usually when they're older. When you're little children, you know, there's children. Oh, yeah, Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my best friend. And then, you know, you just accept him into your heart. But people who harden their hearts, you know, it's hallelujah. It takes more prayer. But prayer. So prayer is like this. Prayer, I'm going to liken it to a gun. Some of you may not like guns. OK, Okay? But the men in here, we love guns. And some of you might be like, man, I'm never gonna let my child play with a gun ever. Right? Well, I wanna say that. Alright, guns have a powerful analogy right here. Alright? Prayer is like guns. And we, a person, especially the bigger the gun gets, people, they go to the army, one of the first things they learn is how to, what? Is to shoot a gun. Why? Because it's not a little cap gun or a little super soaker anymore. It's a real thing. And when you hold a real gun, that thing has a great kickback. All right, it'll bust you in your eye if you don't be careful. And if you don't hold it still, if you don't know how to use the gun, you ain't gonna, you could aim, but you're not gonna hit anything. It's like that with prayer. A lot of people know how to pray. Shala, shala, shala. Shala, 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 jum, jum, jum. All right, people just pray, 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 pray. All right, hey, brother, pray for me. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will bless his car, bless tomorrow for him, and bless his family, and bless all these generic prayers. I'm like, man, get to what I'm struggling with. Right? It's the most powerful prayers are the most precise prayers. They're the ones that hit the bullseye. But a people of God, they gotta know that prayers, it's like handling a gun. A gun requires precision. You gotta hit the target for it to be effective. And for prayer to be really effective, the closer you are to the target, the more effective your prayer is. And that's the truth. That's why God gives the revelational gifts unto God's people. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of prophecy, visions, dreams, any revelational gift God gives to you that you may pray with precision. Now, the other night when God was like, pray for Marcus, he's going through a spiritual warfare. This illness is a disease, work of the enemy. What if I just kept on praying, Lord, just bless his younger brother. Bless his younger brother. Oh, just got a sweet young brother. Bless that young brother. And bless his future marriage. Bless his future marriage. You know, and I'm just like way off. And God's like, hello, hello. Precision. Look. These weapons are effective when they're precise. In that way, I think prayers are like guns. And that's why we need these revelational gifts. And that's why you got to get filled with the Spirit. You got to get baptized with the Spirit. Because unless you're not baptized with the Spirit, you're not going to really move in these revelational gifts. Hallelujah. Second, prayer is like bombs. It's like bombs, I'm telling you. When I have a deliverance session, man, the enemy, sometimes he'll just bring like 10 demons with him in. Right? And I just feel the shift. We're like getting breakthrough. All of a sudden, the person hardens up. I'm not sharing nothing. F you. Right? When you got curse words coming at them, right, you know there's some kind of like, you know, they're like, oh, I'm so thankful that you guys are praying for me. Praying for me. Shift. Get the F away from me. And you're just like, oh. Is that you? Okay, something just happened. Okay. Now, when the devil kind of blindsides you like that, man, I'll just be like, prayer team, get on it right now. Turn on my iPod. Everybody starts to pray. Pray in the Spirit, everybody. Pray in the Spirit. Everybody starts praying in the Spirit. All right? That's like a grenade thrown into the devil's what is that? Bunker, yeah. Kaboom, you know? Throws all the demons off. Like, whoa, whoa, what's that? Whoa. It's like a bomb. All right? And it gives me like that, kind of like that coverage so I can go in. All right? But if you don't pray, the demons are not going to be bound. They need to be bound. All right? So in that way, prayers are like bombs. And sometimes if you're praying for like a big stronghold, you just got to keep dropping bombs on the same stronghold. All right? It's not about precision there. It's the bigger the stronghold, the more prayers you got to drop on the same thing. That's what I do over my dad's salvation. There's so much hurt, so much misconception, so many lies there. man, I just drop it on the same stronghold over and over again. It's like a bomb. But you know what? Hallelujah. These weapons have power, divine power, to demolish strongholds. And as you stay in faith, if you quit, nothing. You keep going forward. God will get the glory. And your father will be saved. Hallelujah. So in that way, prayers are like bombs. Brother Michael said it like this. He tried to say it like this. He was like, prayer is like an axe. And you chip at a wall. If you chip at a wall, you don't chip at it once. If you want to get through, you want to put a hole in that wall, guess what you do? You chip at it again and again and again. You take a little rest and you chip at it again and again, right? And he said, you chip at it until you get a breakthrough in that wall. It's like, why would you do anything less for your father? You keep praying for your father. Hallelujah. In that way, it's like a bomb or an axe pick. Right? You just got to keep chipping away. Because strongholds, the bigger they are, they don't go down that easy. Hallelujah. Why did God require Israel to circle Jericho for 7 days straight? Because that was a big old city. That was a big, well-fortified stronghold. And it wasn't going down easy. Hallelujah. And in that way, that circling may symbolize a perseverance in your prayer life for each of you, for whatever big stronghold you're coming against. Third, prayer is like a walkie-talkie. That's what kind of what you do, right? It's a walkie-talkie. Hallelujah. And sometimes you need backup. Right? When the police are chasing you down. Oh, I'm not chasing you down. But whoever they're chasing, if it gets overwhelming, what I say? Oh, we need backup. We need backup. We need backup. How many backup? Like, give me like 20. Backup, right? And when a person is in war, they use that walkie-talkie, whatever, that transceiver, to get through, to get some backup. And in that way, prayer is like a walkie-talkie as well. Hallelujah. These are powerful weapons. These are powerful. Prayer is a big key weapon as well. And in equipping the army of God, we got to utilize prayer, not just one-dimensionally, but in all the ways that prayer can be utilized to arm and equip the people of God. Another piece of equipment I want to talk about is the anointing. The anointing. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing. See, the anointing is what separates the people of God from Batman. I was worshiping earlier. This is what came to me. God's army is more like X-Men rather than Batman. You see, Batman has no supernatural power. He's just a regular dude that's really pissed and depressed and under all kinds of bondage needing deliverance. And he's just rich, filthy, wealthy rich, and he just has all these kinds of toys and contraptions that his butler puts together. Or whoever puts it together. That's Batman. But X-Men have supernatural powers. And guess what? They all have different kinds of supernatural powers. So when they work alone, they usually get defeated. But when they work together, they can get the bad guy. See, that's why people of God is more like X-Men. You see, so many people in the army, in the church of God, they act like Batman. They just use natural weapons to try to fight the enemy. But you see, we're not like Batman. We're like X-Men. We have access to supernatural powers. And that's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing gives you certain, it electrifies certain natural abilities, but the anointing also gives you supernatural abilities. The anointing is what flows so that a person can be healed. Healing power can flow through a person's hands. A person can see. Supernatural anointing to see, hallelujah. The anointing flows and the people see visions. People are able to predict things before they even happen. In the book of Acts, these prophets, they predicted a famine before it happened. And it helped the church to prepare for the famine. You're able to hear things, you know? Like, like dogs, man. Dogs can hear everything. Man, sometimes I had a little chihuahua when I was a little kid. And that chihuahua, man, the moment the mailman was like 10 blocks down, like 10 houses down the road, it would start going crazy. And getting near that door because the mail hole was in the door. And it'd go crazy. I'll be like, man, Lily, calm down. It's just the mailman. But Lily would do that for like a good 5 minutes, and then the mailman would come. How did he know that? How did she know that? It's because Lily got crazy sense of hearing. Well, there are some people that are able to hear things in the spirit realm that not everybody can hear. And you have that kind of area of gifting. You got to start refining that area of gifting. Don't just go to work right away, but refine that area of gifting and start using it to edify the people of God. But that's supernatural power. Hallelujah. Some people get that anointing to baptize people with the fire of God. That's what Andres Bisoni does. He'll just come upon you and he'll be like, hallelujah. Oh, people just come up under the fire of God. Man, he does it real gentle. He goes real gentle, but the fire, man, just manifests real strong. Ronnie Howard Brown. Man, it's like X-Men, I'm telling you. He's got that supernatural power. Releasing joy, releasing the fire. That's supernatural power. Brothers and sisters, that's the anointing. The anointing is a weapon. An army of God needs to be equipped with that supernatural anointing. You know why? Because the devil also has access to supernatural weapons. Divination. Devil also heals people, physically heals people. The devil can also give people visions. Levitation. Chris Angel walking on water. Chris Angel walking up the wall. People are like, wow. That's the devil. That's the power, the supernatural power of the devil. I told you I met David Blaine. Man, he's full of the devil. David Blaine, man, that boy full of the devil. I met him in New York City. I could sense that demonic presence from him. Hallelujah. I hope somebody saves him. I think he's a pretty cool guy, though. Other than the occultic stuff, I think he's a pretty cool guy. The anointing. Army of God needs to be equipped with the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to cover this. I'm just going to cover real quick. Revelations 12 does cover two more weapons I didn't get to talk about tonight. But one is the blood of the Lamb. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right, these are also two very powerful weapons. Defensive and offensive. The blood. The blood has such power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's life-giving power. There is freedom. When you apply the blood, when you start applying the blood, there's forgiveness, not only to be forgiven, but to forgive. There is an authority in the blood of Jesus to bind the enemy. The blood. They overcame him by the blood. That's what it says in Revelation. How did you overcome the dragon? By the blood. That's what the saint said. We did it by the blood. That means that's a very important key weapon. It's the blood. But in the church today, we underestimate the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We think it's just a symbol. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you tonight, it's a weapon. Whenever I do a deliverance session and things go a little crazy and people start manifesting, I just apply the blood. I just appeal to the blood. By the blood of Jesus, I bind you. Hallelujah. And they want to play games. All right, you want to do the right hand? I bind the right hand by the blood. You want to do the left hand? All right, I bind the left hand by the blood of Jesus. And Satan usually gets the point. You bind by the blood. You set people free by applying the blood to the different areas of their life where they need to repent. But you need to get them to repent first. Hallelujah. And as they receive God's forgiveness, they are able to forgive others. And that healing comes in a different way as well. Blood and the word of the testimony just simply means you gotta speak out the gospel. As you preach the gospel, that's how we defeat the enemy. The only way you can go out and take offensive, you take territory for the king, you got to speak the gospel. You got to speak the gospel. Word of testimony. Word of testimony. Samaritan woman, right? Samaritan woman, the Gospel of John. She goes out to a Samaritan village, and she gives the word of her testimony, and almost the entire village comes to Christ. And the Bible says they came to Christ because of that woman's testimony. It's powerful. It's powerful. These are all different weapons. Now, in closing, brothers and sisters, what I want to say is all of these weapons are useless unless the army of God is in touch with the commander of this army. Amen? I mean, you can learn all about these weapons. You can get excited to use them. But you know what? If you're not connecting with the Lord in your private quiet time, if you're not in touch with the commander of the army, you're just like a militia out there. Independent militia. Crazy independent militia trying to go hunt demons. Yeah, and you know, so there are some, I think, deliverance ministers that get a bad rap because, you know, it's a justified bad rap. Because they're out there, they're just trying to get demons. But deliverance needs to be toward glorifying Jesus. It needs to be toward healing people, setting people free, not about just getting the demons. Hallelujah. And we need to be in touch with the commander of the army. And the spirit of the army needs to be one of continual fearlessness and hunger for his presence. All right. Hallelujah. I think I've talked this one to death. Let's go ahead and pray.